This is Tim and Liz.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Time to welcome into the studio our guest this morning. It is Neil Gallery. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
First time on the radio?
First time on the radio.
How is it?
It's very nerving.
You're somebody with your job that is always behind the scenes and never heard.
Behind.
Or seen.
I think that's behind the thing, not in front of the thing. No, it's very nice to be here, thank you.
Good, well, we're pleased to have you. One of Liz's many contacts that she's
well,
got.
Well, we met a few years ago and we've kind of reconnected, which is nice.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, I haven't talked to you properly about your job before because we were talking weirdly when we first met.
We were building a playground.
Quite random. Yeah. But, it's nice to have you here in this capacity. And I mean, the telly schedule has just come out for Christmas. Obviously, we all love watching telly at Christmas. I mean, personally, I love watching telly all year round. I'm a TV addict. And I really am intrigued by your job because you started out in telly working on shows that I grew up with and I loved watching, like Blind Date.
Blind Date.
Was
surprise,
a classic.
Surprise. I think my first job was on, was another one of those big three Beatles about. Hmm. So that was...
He was huge, wasn't he? What made him so good, do you think? Did he come up with a lot of the ideas for his show himself?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he was very good at that. And I think very... was very good at telling a story in that those little, you know, what would they call them? We used to call them hits, you know, when you surprised a person. They were very well thought out, very well conceived, incredibly thoroughly researched, which is what I had to do. And brilliantly executed. And I wouldn't say that he, Jeremy Beadle, was involved in every nuance of that preparation, but certainly on the day when you were there, he was in charge of work. And he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to push it slightly. If he saw that someone maybe had a bit of a temper, he would like to see just how much of a temper they had. Which we all thought was great. It was lovely. And my job on that was that I had to meet the... contributors or would-be contributors. I had to meet them undercover. So they didn't know that I worked on Beatles About. So they would always be nominated by someone else, their partner, their friend, whatever. So you'd go meet their partner and their friend and you would discover about this person and this proposed scenario that you were going to do them in, if that's terrible, we're going to do them. And if all that panned out, you'd go back to the office and you'd say, yeah, I think this is a goer, and then you'd arrange through that intermediary to meet the person without them knowing who you were. I once nearly bought a horse. I did buy a ukulele. I nearly bought someone's house, which, when you think back, is ridiculous, because I was probably in my mid-20s and looking at this huge thing. I've sat in numerous pubs, and the intermediary has walked past, and we've gone, Bob, how are you? God, I haven't seen you since college. Yay! And then they go, meet my friend Sharon, you know, who was indeed the mark.
Yeah.
And then you sit down and talk to Sharon.
Gosh, it's real cloak and dagger stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're obviously good actors. And
what was terrible was the office, I shouldn't say this really, the office used to encourage you to see if you could get this person to kind of get a little bit angry. So you'd pick an argument with them, you know.
Oh, wow, really?
Which was even worse. And Surprise, Surprise was a similar thing, kind of undercover research. And then and then Blind Date was just going around the country looking for single people and then going on holiday with them.
you went away with them as well?
Yeah, yeah. That's the only time I've ever been anywhere. Oh, have you been to Miami? You go, yeah, it was on Blind Date.
So yeah. What were you doing in that? You were involved in the filming of the segments that we then see of them going. Was that a lot of that stage then in that?
No, not at all. Obviously the scenarios were pre-prepared.
Yes, yeah.
In that we knew we were going to go out on a boat that afternoon.
Yeah.
We knew they'd go for dinner. But their relationship wasn't kind of tampered with in any way, if you will. Which was the point of the researcher being on the date. You know, there was a film crew, there was a director, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
My job was to hold their hands.
Right.
And if they got on, it was brilliant. Because you'd say, right, turn up at 4 o'clock and we'll do the swimming thing and we'll see you at 4.
Mm.
So then I was on holiday. If they didn't get on, then you earned your money.
Yeah.
You know, you were between the two of them.
Mm. Well, a few of those relationships ended up in marriage, and
there was
maybe still
hat
together.
Business,
So here we go.
So then you got into game shows, which is all a different kind of genre, really.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
I, gosh, now you're testing my memory. Chris Evans was about to make TFI Friday.
Which I remember very well.
Yeah. And a very good friend of mine who I'd worked with at London Weekend Studios went to work for Chris Evans. I think he'd worked on Toothbrush, this man Stephen. So he went to work on TFI Friday, and there was a segment in TFI Friday which was we would go live into somebody's house who was watching the show, and we go, surprise, you're on the telly. And then we cut to a wide shot outside their house. And on that wide shot, you could see their house and their local pub. And the challenge would be, you've got 60 seconds to run out of your house, down the street, into your local pub, and down a pint. And we would film this together with Black Beauty music, if I remember right. And then you'd cut to the person running into the pub, and all their friends would be there, and they'd be in on it. And we did weeks of research at Chris Evans's local pub, which basically involved us all running up and down the street and getting very drunk. There's a young man called Mike Taylor, I have to say this, Mike Taylor, who can run, who did the distance. And I'll talk about the distance in a minute. It's very crucial detail, the distance. Right. And managed to do two pints without being ill. Mike Taylor was a legend. So we did lots of research, and I discovered that you, in case anyone's interested in this, if it's less than 70 yards from your front door to the pub, it's easy. If it's more than 110 yards, it's impossible.
Right.
So that kind of starts to narrow down the people you can go and find to be involved in this thing. But primarily I got involved in that because of the hidden camera stuff that I'd done with Beadle and Surprise Surprise, because again, it was about setting up people who didn't know they were being set up. So then I worked with a bloke called Stephen Stewart. He was the director, and he set up a company with Paddy Keelty. And that was, they did a game show called Last Chance Lottery. And I left TFI to work on Last Chance Lottery. This is now getting very boring, so I'll go really quick. I met a bloke called Ian Coyle, who now runs the channel Dave. Ian Coyle came up with a quiz idea where students paid off their debt that he sold to Hattrick, and Hattrick asked me, because I knew Ian, to go and make it for them, and that's how quizzes started.
Wow.
And Hattrick is the TV production company for people
that's
who don't...
That's the company that I work
they,
for.
They make a lot of well-known... They make Have I Got News For You and...
they make Have I Got News For You and Room 101.
Yeah.
And we make Derry Girls as well.
Yeah.
So we make drama. I say we. I've kind of got and we make The Time It Takes.
Yes.
Which is on the telly
which,
now.
Which is your baby.
On BBC One, Saturday nights at what time? Six?
6:46
Does it
vary each week?
Oh, no.
It's before Strictly. Oh, are they? Okay. Funny enough, in the title sequence, there's a clock. It starts with you kind of see the back of a clock, and then you go through the clock face into the studio. And the BBC wanted the clock to be the exact time every week that it was the time that the programme started. Yeah. And I said to the BBC, that's a brilliant idea. You tell me exactly what time it's going to be on every week, and we'll do that. And they went, okay, then maybe we won't.
Yeah.
So The Time It Takes is hosted by...
Hosted by Joe Lycett, and Joe is a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And he's a very good quiz show, game show host. It's a kind of a weird show because it's neither a... I hate it when people call game shows quiz shows. I'm quite fastidious about that. Or quiz shows game shows, because there's a different... Quizzes have questions and game shows have games. Mm. It is a curious hybrid of the two. And then you've got Alison Hammond, who looks after the timers. The timers, as I keep saying in the office, they're not allowed to be called games. They're timers, because they're not challenges.
Right.
We're never asking people, can you do this thing? It's always, you can do it. It's easy. It's a simple proposition. Fold up 20 pairs of socks. It's just, how long is it going to take?
I see. Okay. So you've got someone doing something, and then you've got someone answering questions.
Yes. How does the format work? Is that your question?
Yes, yes.
Well, I can tell you how it worked from how it started. So a friend of mine, I work in development at Hattrick. And he's not there at the moment, but there was a chap there called Jimmy Baker, and Jimmy was making a piece of toast, and Jimmy said, this is true, Jimmy said, why don't you ask me some questions until my toast pops up? And we did that, and we went, blimey, that's a good idea, isn't it? And that's where it came from.
Wow.
It's quizzes are very odd things, you know, they're very simple in their proposition if you're challenged with coming up with quizzes. You know, in that all you're trying to do is think of a different way of asking a question. That's it. That's all a quiz format is. How many different ways can you think of asking a question? Then when you start peeling off the layers, it gets a little bit more complicated, you know. So there are actually four ways that you can ask a question, if anyone's interested. Yeah. I can ask you a question directly. I can ask you, which is a single question.
Yeah.
And obviously you then give me the answer. I could ask you a multiple choice question. So that's two ways. I could ask you questions against the clock, in either of those previous two guises, or I can ask a number of people questions on the buzzer. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's no other versions.
So if you think about 15 to 1, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, The Chase,
It's just different ways of asking questions.
Yeah.
So in a way, coming up with quizzes is quite easy if you just looked at that previous statement.
No.
The difficult thing is, how do you do it in a way that's not been done before?
Yeah.
How do you do it in, and this is the most challenging bit, how do you do it where you are able to, if you have a unique idea, a unique way, what we would call a mechanic. If you have an interesting way of asking, so pointless by way of example is a very good way of asking a question. Mm. They're just asking a question. They're just doing it in a very clever way. So if you have a very good mechanic, the difficult thing, if you're interested in coming up with quizzes, is now making that a narrative, is now making that a story. You know, what I would, you know, there's four contestants, then there's two, then there's a dramatic final. Mm. So it's a kind of arcing narrative that tells a story over a set period of time as well. It's not, you know, it's not like writing a book. I think it's 300 pages, I think it's 600 pages. A BBC one half an hour is, what, 23 minutes? That's your lot. 23 minutes, give or take 5 seconds.
Yep.
You know, so you've got to be pretty sure of what you're doing. Mm. And the difficult thing is developing that narrative, developing that format, yet keeping hold of that single mechanic that is so good about the idea. And that's the hard thing. Of course, having said all that, the time it takes is easy because it's just asking questions against timers. But
so they have, you have a team, do you? Or you have a couple, and they play with each other or against
have
each other?
Have you not watched it?
No.
At 6:40 on BBC One,
I'm
on
going
a Saturday
to
night
now.
With 4 out of 8 episodes left.
Oh, I saw it advertised.
Now you're going to ask me to remember the format, because obviously I've watched everyone. There are three contestants, and Alison Hammond introduces three. Oh, I've got a list here, just so I don't forget. I'm referring to my list. So Alison Hammond will introduce three timers, and the timers are events that are going to happen in studio. So it might be the time it takes Alison Hammond to pair 20 pairs of random socks, or the time it takes her, this is one of my favourite ones, to strain tins of beans through a pair of tights to fill a champagne glass with juice.
Oh.
To shave three My Little Ponies.
And do you come up with these ideas?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so
a lot of them. We had, in development, yes, certainly Jimmy, who I mentioned, and I came up with these ideas. Then when you go into production, so the BBC says, we like this show, you can make some of them. We then have a team to come up with
them.
Right.
And you try them out first, obviously.
Oh, yes.
You
oh
do
my,
it.
Well, because that's the interesting thing about that show as well, which goes back to, on TFI Friday and things like that, I used to do a lot of live shows. And live, making live programmes is, I mean, you know, it's the best thing in the world because it's done.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, you can learn from your mistakes, but you can't stop and do them again.
No.
You know, and it's the best thing in the world. And, you know, nothing tastes better than going to the pub after a live show because it's done. Who cares? Mm. You know, we can fight about it tomorrow. Let's not bother about it now. Mm. Of course, I forgot to mention the irony of the thing that I did on TFI Friday is that the Channel 4, I've gone round the houses now, one shouldn't do that. Channel 4 decided they didn't like the idea of the person running down the street and down in a pint because it promoted alcohol. And then we set the whole thing in a bar, which always confused
it
me.
Was, TFI was all about the drinking culture, especially Chris Evans then.
Particularly if you worked on it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can imagine.
Anyway, going back to the plot. So the time it takes. What's brilliant about the time it takes and those timers that are performed in studio is because they are against the clock, they are live events.
Yeah.
So you can't stop if they go wrong. You can't redo them. You can't edit them because they are, you are running a live clock against them. So in which case, those timers, as you say, you know, how do you come up with them and who came up with them, have to be kind of bomb-proof.
Yeah.
You know, they have to be obscure, they have to be funny, and yet they have to be so simple that they can't break halfway through. There's a brilliant one, and I'm not sure. I've got a list here, so I could work it out, but I'm not sure whether it's gone out or not. Where Alison Hammond pretends a famous newsreader is her boyfriend, and they've split up, and she decides to shred her photo album of him. And halfway through so that's the timer. How long does it take to shred this this picture book? And halfway through the timer, the shredder broke. And then it suddenly dawned on us that, well, if you've chosen that as a timer, and I've just realised I haven't answered your question, then great for you, because the shredder's broke, you've now got more time to answer questions.
Yes.
Mm. So, three contestants, that's what you were asking, have a choice of three timers. So let's say Liz goes first. You choose a timer, an event that Alison Hammond will do that you think is going to last the longest time, during which Joe asks you questions. And obviously you choose the longer timer, you've got more questions to answer. That's kind of the premise of the show, spun into three or four different rounds.
And do you come up with the questions as well? Because that must be hard, coming up with questions. Mm. Then when there's been so many game shows over the years, or quizzes, and, you know, it's constantly thinking. Because I have to come up with the questions for this pub quiz that we do every... And I find
it
really hard.
Just say Paris. Keep saying Paris and you'll be right.
But you were saying to me that when you're on telly and the pressure of... It's like Catchphrase or something. Suddenly your brain just goes blank, doesn't it? And even the simplest things can seem, you know, you can't answer.
You should say that.
Before you do that, because we are a live show and I'm considering the time, we need to do some travel news.
Am I rambling?
Yeah. Well, no, you're fine.
I've just driven in. It's quite good.
It's good. Thank you. We'll do some travel. We'll do some ads, and then we'll come back, and then you can challenge us with your questions. I want to talk more generally about TV and our viewing habits, and the way that maybe some of the shows that are on TV at the moment perhaps won't be on the TV in the future.
Right.
But more of a deeper conversation. But I'll do some travel news first.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
It is 12 minutes to 12. Our guest Neil Gallery is here from The Time It Takes, which is not on at 6:40. It's on at 5:40. And Neil would like to apologise to Richard, who's pointed that out.
Richard, of course, being my boss, who has emailed and told us this.
5:40. We'll be watching.
5:40. 5:40, everybody. It's all about time.
Exactly.
Or you can watch it on the BBC iPlayer, no doubt.
At 6:40.
Well, whenever you like. Yeah. This is the game show that you're working on, or have been working on at the moment. What's the time frame in this? How long ago did you start working on this? When did you film it? How long does it take between coming up with an idea and it actually making it on the telly?
It's over a year.
Yeah.
So it's probably summer last year, 2017, when the kind of core idea started to happen. And
is that before you take it to a channel and pitch it?
Yeah. I mean, that kind of depends on your relationship with the channel, I suppose, you know, and the various people within a channel. Mm. If you've got a good relationship, you could say, you know, we're just working on this idea now where you're going to answer questions while people are doing something, or you can have the time and patience to flesh out the whole thing and then show it to them.
Mm.
Depends on the idea, depends on, you know, what the content is.
Why do you think quiz shows and game shows are so popular? I remember going way back to Brucey and Generation Game.
I don't know,
because
none of mine are.
Oh, give over. They are.
They have a very good ability to appeal to a very wide demographic. You know, I mean, in particular, if you look at something like The Time It Takes, it's not massively challenging in that the questions are, they're not tricky. It's about people putting people under pressure. It's funny. It's, you know, the timers, we tried to make the contents of the timers things that were tangible and that people could relate to.
Mm.
So although you may never have poured, well, I don't know, Tim, you may have done, poured beans through a pair
Can't
of tights.
Say I have, no.
It's a wonderful experience. You should try it.
Yeah.
It's very fulfilling. You know, those timers do have content that everyone can relate to. So I think it's because it's wide family viewing that you know, quizzes and game shows are still popular.
But you think that might be changing, that there won't be those sort of shows where the whole family can sit around and enjoy in the future? Do you think...
I I know you're asking me that because I told you that last week. I think you're right.
Or you're right.
Or I'm right. I'm trying to pass it on. No, I think that... I actually, to be honest, as I think I may have mentioned when we spoke last week, that I think we are the last kind of generation, really, to have that kind of viewing. You know, I've got three sons from 11 to 19. They don't want to sit around the telly. Mm. They literally don't, you know. They'd much rather be slaughtering people on some kind of Xbox, PlayStation.
Yeah.
That's not true. But, they operate on multiple devices simultaneously. Mm. They don't want to have... Mm. It's not that, you know, I'm now talking about my children rather than television. It's not that they don't want a family experience. It's not that they're, you know, they're now, children are awful compared to they were a generation ago. It's that just doesn't float their boat anymore.
No.
I literally think 10, 15 years, that'll be it, really. I don't know. I mean, television will still exist. But whether it's got that ability to pull in, you know, a wide demographic of people to the same programme, I don't know. Mm. I think there will possibly still be those shows, but there'll be very few and far between, I think. It's a shame, really, because I'll be out of a job.
We were talking earlier about the Christmas, or BBC's Christmas schedule that they've announced their programmes. I guess maybe Christmas might be the only time of the year where people do still sit round the television.
Yeah. You say that. My children, they love Michael McIntyre at the moment, that he does when he surprises someone at night, doesn't he? He goes in and wakes them up.
Oh, he goes up
the night game show.
Yeah. And they love that. They think that's very funny. Yeah. And then when he takes their mobile and sends to all, and they find that very funny. So again, I think it's like you say, finding something that, you know...
They're also quite... Those things are quite... They're little kind of vignettes, aren't they?
Yes.
They're moments within a...
You can watch them on their own without watching the whole show.
It's indicative of how children consume their media on various platforms, isn't it? In short, sharp bites. Mm. Whether we'll ever get to a point where people all sit round and watch something that you have to watch for an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree with you. I don't think that would be the case, no. Mm. Yeah, but answering questions is intriguing because we all like to try and answer questions, don't we? You've got some for us, haven't you?
I have. I think one of the other interesting things about the time it takes on at 5:40 on a Saturday night, Mr. Richard Wilson, is the style of questions, because we wanted to make what was essentially an entertainment show, which was a comedy show over and above being a straight quiz, and we knew that the timers, those events, were the star of the show, over and above Joe and Alison, obviously being the very stars of the show. So the questions, when we got to thinking of the questions, we didn't want them to be too serious, we didn't want them to be difficult, we wanted everyone to be able to play along. And then there was a moment when we were doing, when we're developing a show at Hattrick, we do a number of run-throughs. So we play the show over and over and over again until we think it's in a good enough shape to show a broadcaster. And we were running out of questions because at that point you don't have a team of people. Mm. It's just me and my development partner. So we then started just like, oh, we'll just write anything on the sheet of paper, you know. So, and one of my favourite questions that came out of that was knock, knock.
Who's there?
Correct, 1 point. because we were running out of questions, so we just wrote loads of things like that. What is the plural of sheep?
Oh, what is that?
Sheep.
Sheep, correct. Don't be shy. And
sheeps.
I don't think we quite anticipated the confusion and tension and distraction of the timer being performed whilst a contestant is answering questions under pressure, we actually found that they got a lot of these questions wrong. And it was therefore very entertaining. Okay. For instance, I think last Saturday there was a lady who... the question was, we all live in a yellow...
submarine.
And she said house. So I do have some questions.
Okay.
Which I thought... I'd ask you... I can ask either of you.
Do you want to ask us against the clock?
Gosh, that's professional. Have you got a clock?
We've got a one-minute quiz countdown. And we've got 3 minutes till the news.
Let's do 30 seconds that would work. For Liz and 30 seconds for
okay,
you.
Okay, all right then.
Okay.
Okay.
So you've got 30 seconds, and I'm going to go really quick, and the pressure's on.
Okay.
And your timer starts...
Now.
Who wrote Handel's Water Music?
Handel.
Correct, don't be shy. In which UK county can you find Leeds Castle?
Leeds.
It's in Kent.
Oh.
Sebastian and Flounder are characters from which Disney film?
Sebastian, I don't know.
The Little Mermaid.
Oh, you do?
I don't.
No heckling. Samoa, spicy snack or holiday destination?
Holiday destination.
Okay, it's your own time you're wasting. What's 17 times 6?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I only know 6 sixes, 36. I don't know.
No, 102. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, but can you spell Dashund?
Dashund.
Dashund. When the going gets tough.
The tough get going.
Correct, I'll give you that.
Oh my goodness, they're really funny, but hard. Oh, they're not hard, are they?
Oh, they're not.
Some of them I didn't know the answer to, but Little Mermaid.
Another one of my favourites was Tom Cruise is very good looking, but what's the middle letter of Mississippi?
I see. So you start with something that has no relevance to the actual question.
That's really confusing.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, are you ready?
All right, then. Okay, go on.
I've got to find my... Oh, that's tricky.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Okay, right.
Tom Cruise is good-looking, but what's the middle letter of Mississippi?
I.
I'm not sure. I'll give you that. How many L's are there in Hullabaloo?
4.
3. What are the first names of comedy duo Reeves and Mortimer?
Vic
and Bob.
Bob.
Correct. Glenn Close, Irish Valley or American actress?
American actress.
Okay. Which animal can follow Polar, Grizzly and Teddy?
Bear.
Correct. Testophobia is the fear of taking what?
An exam? Test?
Tests? I'll give you that. Well done. Masked, hermit and spider are all types of which marine creature?
Crab.
Correct. What does Cher wish she could turn back?
Time.
Correct. Harpo, Gummo, Zeppo and Groucho. Which Marx brother is missing?
Oh, I don't know.
I've gone past it now. Chico. Bombay duck, Asian waterfowl or foul-tasting fish?
What? I don't even get that.
Bombay duck, is it an Asian waterfowl or a foul-tasting fish?
Foul-tasting fish.
That's correct, but unfortunately your time ran out.
Oh.
They're just confusing.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's good.
Well, our time has run out. We've got 20 seconds to the news, so thank you very much for coming
you,
in.
We could talk to you all day, actually.
That's all right. It's been a pleasure. Don't forget to watch the time it takes at 5:40, according to Richard Wilson, on Saturday.
You'll have to come back again at some point and talk some more, because it was really fun.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.